So I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to the county clerk. We picked a number, we got in line, we did the whole thing. Took forever. We were there all day.
Oh,
And
wait. It's better than just it took forever. You took the day off of work, or most of the day off of work. We got there, parked, and realized that we had forgot
oh.
our birth certificate. And did we need our birth certificate and Social Security cards?
No, we just forgot our birth certificates.
Yeah, we'd left them at home, which was a 20-minute drive. It's not a big deal. But then you got to drive back.
So I was like,
Then you have to drive back to the county clerk.
Welcome to Off the Beaten Path, but Not Lost.
With Tony,
Kristen,
Kylie, and Lexi.
Join us on this RV full-time living journey.
Across the beautiful United States.
We're the Fairlas.
Hello and welcome to episode 117.
Today is all about Canada.
Trip planning, to be exact.
Yeah, all the things we did to get ready to drive toward Canada. I'm sure there's going to be another one of these, like right before we cross the border, but as of right now, this is what we've done so far.
Well, before we get into all this Canada stuff, first, we would love it if you would follow us on The Fairlas on Instagram or Facebook.
If you'd like the show notes for this episode, you can find them at thefairlas.com/117.
We are very excited to explore a sliver of British Columbia and Alberta. We're going to like hug the border and bounce around.
Yeah, it's mostly at the southern portions of each province. There's kind of a cluster of Canadian national parks in like the southern tips of like Alberta and British Columbia. And we're just going to kind of like delve into a little bit of those.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of fly through this area when they're on their way to Alaska, and we really wanted to explore it. So we're doing it on an off year. We've talked about this in other podcasts. We're doing it in an off year that we're not going to Alaska, and we're going to explore, how many parks do we know?
Right off the top of my head, I think it's 6 or 7.
That we're going to explore.
Yeah.
And just take our time, spend a couple months in Canada doing those things. So,
and just like we do here, we try to like absorb the area as much as we can while we stay. Like if we stay for a week or 2 weeks in one area, we try to do as much as we can and learn as much as we can about that stuff.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see, what we're going to do, why we chose the locations we chose, mapping out our route, so on, so on.
Well, obviously, the big thing for us is beauty. We love being in nature. We love the Rocky Mountains. And I've heard that the Canadian Rockies are probably the most beautiful portion. We'll see, but
I actually was talking to a coworker today about it, and she said that Canada was some of the most beautiful scenery she's ever seen, and it was like her favorite trip as a kid.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Canada and Alaska was her favorite trips.
Because like everything I've seen, you know, pictures and videos, I love looking at photography and drone videos and stuff. And it's always like super blue glacier lakes, you know, pristine rivers, which I love.
Mountains.
Yeah. And like we've gotten tastes of that around the U.S. Like North Cascades is kind of like that, snowy mountains with super turquoise lakes. We were in the Rocky Mountains, like that whole area near Denver. And, you know, you have all those rivers flowing and all the rocks and the mountains. It's just gorgeous. And I just can't wait to see it.
Mm-hmm. Agree. The other thing that is a big thing on our list is the national parks. We love national parks. It's like one of our favorite things to do in the United States. And we're going to be doing that in Canada as well. And we're focusing on, I think, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Some of them are Waterton Lakes National Park.
Yeah, that's like a partner park with the U.S. Glacier National Park.
And we love Glacier. Yeah. So
if it just continues on what it is in the U.S., I'm happy with that. Another one is Mount Revelstoke. That's in British Columbia. It's kind of like an entirely different experience from what we've seen, from what we've researched.
I think this one's going to be like Mount Rainier, where you drive up. You can drive up into the mountain, and then you have like the flowers and everything that's growing, the subalpine flowers, all of that.
Yeah, it's known for wildflower blooms. There's basically a rainforest there. And it's the only mountain in the national park system there that you can summit just like a short walk from your vehicle.
Yeah, you can drive most of the way up and then you can walk it. Banff is a new one as well that we're going to be going to.
I feel like Banff is like the one that most RVers know of, Banff and Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
Just because those are very popular ones to hit on the way to Alaska.
We're not doing Jasper.
Yeah, not this time.
Unless we get antsy when we're there.
Yeah, unless we're just there and we're like, okay, we can't get enough of this. We're just going to have to drive out of our way. Because that's the only thing. That's the only reason we're not doing it this time is because I feel like it's out of the way compared to where we're going to be. But you never know. We're pretty flexible.
I'm excited to see Lake Louise, the turquoise water of that lake.
Yeah,
the mountains all around it.
You know, I've seen a million pictures of Lake Louise with the mountains in the backdrop, and it's just like, I have to get that shot. It's like the obligatory mountain and lake photo. We're also going to visit Yoho National Park. And Yoho National Park is on the western slopes of the Great Divide. So that's part of this whole thing. Like the border for British Columbia and Alberta is actually the Great Divide or the Continental Divide.
That's a mountain we're going to have to go back and forth.
it's not like we're summiting the mountains in the RV, although I'm sure there's going to be some mountain driving that we're probably not looking forward to, but...
Wait a minute. You sounded very confident that there's mountain driving.
We're going to be in the Canadian Rockies, so... I'm sure it's going to be inevitable to do some mountain driving, but...
Yikes.
That's just something we're going to have to deal with. Yoho is also known for its glaciers and waterfalls.
Exciting.
Yeah. We're also going to be visiting the Canadian Glacier National Park, which is known for its old growth cedars and high alpine landscapes.
I'm excited to see all the different things, all the different landscapes. Like
everything I've read about these national parks there's very diverse areas. Like I said, basically like rainforests. Then you get up into the alpine areas where there's just like moss and lichen and boulders and snow.
Snow. Exciting. I don't like snow.
So. I want snow.
I'm hoping we don't see much snow, but...
I love snow. I would love for there to be snow at high elevation. Mm. I just don't want to drive through it, but I think when we're going there in July and August, I don't think we're going to have to deal with it.
Also on our list is the Icefields Parkway.
Yep.
This is a drive that is very well known. It's like one of the most scenic in the world. And what does it drive through? Between, Tony?
It's through Banff and Jasper. It's basically in between. It links Lake Louise with Jasper. Oh, yeah, it's a very long stretch. It's like 232 kilometers, which is another thing that we're going to have to get used to. The metric system.
But this area, it winds through the Canadian Rockies. You get to see, there's like different viewpoints with waterfalls and glaciers and all sorts of things.
Yeah, like
so
real
I'm
deal
really
glaciers.
About
like,
that.
It's called Icefields Parkway because there's so many different like huge, huge glaciers.
So we may end up going to Jasper because we may have to take this whole parkway.
Maybe.
Okay, what other national parks are we doing?
Kootenay National Park is called the Land of Ice and Fire. There's huge valleys and canyons that were carved by glaciers. And prairies and grasslands that are, you know, wiped out by fires and then they grow back. So it's this always changing landscape.
That's exciting. I'm excited to see that. It's going to be very pretty, I'm sure.
And I've heard there's hot springs there.
Ooh.
So
again, there's five big reasons why we chose to do Canada. The first one was obviously how beautiful it is, the landscapes. The second was the national parks. The third is...
wildlife encounters.
Yes.
What kind of animals can we find in the Canadian Rockies?
Bears, black and grizzly bears, moose, mountain goats, bighorn sheep, and possibly, maybe, some elk.
I hope we get to see some moose. I'm sure we'll see elk.
And I think they have like it's real like
deer,
moose there.
Right? What do you mean real moose?
Like the further north you go, the bigger they get.
Oh, okay.
Like an Alaskan moose makes the, where do we see it? Teton moose look like babies.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see Canada moose.
Me too.
We love seeing wildlife. This is one of our big things. We go into the national parks specifically to find wildlife.
Yeah.
Kylie just said the other day on an off-road trail, I can't wait until we go more north so we can see things that are alive. Yeah.
I love desert jeep trails and boondocking in the desert and like Yuma. I love the campground in Yuma and boondocking.
The weather.
The weather is really nice and the pool. And I really like the campground, but I love the mountains and the forest and the pine trees because there's actually animals there that won't, like, bite you and you'll, like...
Sting you.
Sting you and you'll, like, and you'll die from venom.
Like scorpions and...
Yeah, scorpions
black
and rattlesnakes.
Widows, rattlesnakes.
The fourth big reason why we chose this area is it's educational.
We love including education in our travels and using our travels to learn new stuff. Like, we love history. That's one thing that I love is I love going to the little mining towns and reading all the plaques and watching all the, you know, shows, the recreations and all
yeah,
that
like
stuff.
Yeah, like Tombstone.
Just that kind of stuff. I love the atmosphere and I love the culture.
One of our favorite things to do is learn about something and then, like, learn about something in books or in something that we're, like, physically touching in our house and then walk out our front door and see it in real life.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's something that, you know, I think is one of the best parts about this lifestyle.
I can't wait to do a presentation on Canada. Can't wait.
A report?
Just can't wait. And our fifth big reason is the snapshots.
Yeah, of course. Taking hundreds or thousands of photos,
I'm gonna make memories. I'm going to make a new album that's called Canada.
Nice. You guys could edit some movies. You guys have been making a lot of iMovie stuff.
I'm excited to take a bunch of photos and videos that we don't share with anyone.
We like to save those for later.
If you follow us on Instagram, sometimes you'll get one, like, sprinkled in.
Yep.
No, I'm sure we're going to be sharing a ton of these because they're just going to be so gorgeous. We have to share them.
Yeah, I'm going to have to up my game.
So those are our five big reasons for picking Canada this summer. Mostly it's been itching at us, and we have to go. We have to go.
It's just something, like you said before, it's something that a lot of RVers do when they go to Alaska, but they're rushed. Because you have a small window to be in Alaska in an RV, and you also have a smaller window to get there. So that's what's going to make this a little bit more special for us, is we get to sit there, we get to be there and soak it in.
Everything. You get to, you know, meet the locals, we get to have the diners and do the silly little things that we've put in our bucket list or whatever. It's going to be exciting. To get ready for this, we had to get our passports. And that was like a whole experience. So we needed to get four passports for all of us. I had one, but it was a super old one before I got married. So I needed a new passport. The girls needed their first passports. Tony needed one. And so how we did it, the first thing we did is we took our own pictures.
Yep. We used a template to size them correctly because they have to They're very specific on the size and the position.
So I bought a template. I bought a 5x7 template on Etsy. And I think it was like $1.99. And then we ended up putting all four of our photos on the 5x7. And the 5x7 was like $1.50. So
what are the headshot pictures are what, 2x2?
Yeah, they're 2x2, and if you get them done somewhere, they're like $20 each. So, you know, that's $80,
When we were in Yuma, we called around, and every place that we called, it was $18 to $20 per person.
And that's probably fine, but we could just take them ourselves, and it took us, like, no time at all. We
took us 5 minutes per person.
Not even.
Less.
Probably 5 minutes total.
And yeah, we actually, it worked out because we do photos every year. we do like a mugshot photo every year and then put it in a timeline. And we just did that at the same time. So we were taking mugshots anyways. So it kind of worked out perfect for us. But yeah, we took those pictures and then I just put them all on one 5x7 and then we got that developed.
Yeah, by the way, we got them developed at Walmart for like less than $2.
Yeah, I think it was like $1.50.
So far we're less than $4 into this.
Yeah. And then we're $20 each. So we've saved $76 so far. next we went to the county clerk's. Is that where we went?
Yeah. Yuma okay. County Clerk. It's right like basically downtown Yuma.
And, you know, you go in, you take the number. And for some reason, I was thinking that the post office would be awful because I've always had awful experiences at the post office. I, like, refuse to go to the post office. Tony normally does post office stuff. So I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to the county clerk. We picked a number. We got in line. We did the whole thing. Took forever. We were there all day. And
oh, wait. It's better than just it took forever. You took the day off of work, or most of the day off of work. We got there, parked, and realized that we had forgot our birth certificate. Yes. And did we need our birth certificate and Social Security cards?
No, we just forgot our birth certificates.
Yeah, we'd left them at home, which was a 20-minute drive. It was not a big deal. But then you got to drive back.
So I was like,
then you had to drive back to the county clerk. So
yeah, and we knew right away as soon as we got out, we're like, oh no. So then we just got back in the car, went home, did that. Then we went in, we took the number, we got up there. She had to go through all the paperwork, get it all organized, do all the things. And then one of the kids' photos was a little too big. So the template, they have to be 2x2, but the face on the photo also has to be a certain size. And I thought I was measuring like the top of the chin and the top of the head, making sure that those parts fit in that spot. Because I also thought like they don't want it to be too small, right? So I was trying to make that part fit. And when I did that for the girls, it actually made their ears like go out of the sides. So, and it was only out by like a millimeter. Or 2 millimeters, but they're like, this is not going to work. So we did have to redo it, and we didn't have to redo the photos. I just readjusted them on the template and then reprinted them right there at Walmart. And then we went back. So we printed them like the way to Walmart. Walmart's like 1 hour photo, and it was actually quicker than one hour, obviously.
Yeah, like 30 minutes.
Yeah. So they printed it for us. We got back to the county clerk about 10 minutes before they were going to close.
Well, no, but it wasn't even that. It was 10 minutes before they had their cutoff passport applications.
Yeah, so they closed at 5, but they stopped taking passports at 4. But mind you, she's already done everything. She literally just had to take our money and just verify that the photo fit perfectly. And so I went up to her because there was a bunch of people in there at that point, and I took a number. There was a bunch of people in front of me, though, and I said, I'm not going to obviously get up here in the next 10 minutes, but we will get up here before you close. There's only like four or five people in front of us. And we'll get up here before you close, but I just probably won't get back up here before 4. However, you have everything done. You just have to verify this last photo and then take our money. It would have taken you 5 minutes probably to do it. Nope. Last one's 4:00.
They're hard. They have a hard cutoff
at
4:00.
So I was like, okay. So I was annoyed. We've taken the whole day off. We've driven here 3 times. So at this point, I'm like, ugh. So I was like, let's just go to the post office and see what they have there. So we get into the post office, and we got there at like 4:10 because we just left the other place.
Yeah, we left and then went straight to the post office, which was just down the road.
And I did not see a sign there. There was one, but we did not see it right away. It just said, you know, they closed at 5 or something.
I think 5:30.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, their last, did they have a cutoff for 4:30?
They had a cutoff for 4:30. Oh, no, it said 4:30, by appointment, I think. And the by appointment is actually very small, and I did not see the by appointment part. So I was just thinking 4:30. So we're in this line, and it's like, it's taking forever, of course, because the post office always takes forever. But we literally were at the line to like the next person at like 4:28. Mind you, I was watching my watch the whole time because, you know, if you watch the clock, it goes slower. So I was watching it the entire time. We get up to the thing and we're next. And it was like 4:28. And then she calls us up and it was like 4:29. So I was like, just so you know, we're under the 4:30. And I was like telling her, you know, what we wanted to do. And she's like, oh no, that's, you don't have an appointment. That's by appointment only. And I'm like, what? Come on.
Like, we have everything. It's all organized.
Yeah.
We will just hand it to you, give you money. And it'll be done. And the first lady, she's like, I don't know. Like, you guys can stand to the side and I'll go talk to her and see if she can do it. Because we're like, we have everything. We have photos. We have it all.
Yeah.
And it's ready to go.
And they were thinking that they had to take photos. Yeah. So that's why they weren't happy about it. But then the lady came back and she's like, she's going to see you next. So go on down there. So I'm like, okay. So we went down to the end. The lady was super cool. Way nice. She ripped through those so fast. She's done
at least 1,000 times.
Yeah. She was done in like 10, 15 minutes with all of our money. I don't even know if it took her 15 minutes.
I don't think so.
Yeah. To have everything done. So we were in and out of there and had our passports ordered.
Yep.
It took us about 4 weeks to get them, I think.
I think it was, about 4 weeks on the money.
Yeah.
Where it's supposed to take like 6 to 8, usually. We had ours, in about 4.
Oh, I just now realized our birth certificates are still in our escapees.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to have that sent to us.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah. What happened, though, is they sent our passports to escapees. As soon as we got the notice, we had them sent out back to us. And then the day they sent them, I got another notice from escapees saying they just received something from the passport place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Maybe it was the same thing. But then when we got the passports in the mail, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it was totally our original documents.
So they actually send your birth certificate there and you have to wait for it to come back. So, yeah, our birth certificates are still at escapees. We need to get those.
I love my passport. It's so tiny. And I love that.
It's got a lot of cool information in it and, like, cool pages.
Very spy-ish. But you can't play with it, can you?
No, that puppy is locked up. So that was our passport experience. It was really cool. It was a little stressful, but it was actually kind of easy.
Yeah, just the one day. I mean, we only spent the one day trying to get it all done. And actually, if we would have did our research a little bit better, we would have probably saved a lot of time.
Well, and another thing is, the bad part of it was you or I, the adults, can get their passport on their own. Like, I could have went and got mine by myself. You could have went and got yours by yourself. But both parents have to be there, or parent or guardian, whatever, have to be there to do the kids.
Yep.
So it's not like I could have went and put the documents in for Kylie, but you would have had to be there too. So that's the only bad thing, is we literally had to do theirs. And at the post office, that's one thing that they said at first, like, we can do yours, but we probably can't get the kids done.
But she didn't know at that time. She didn't know we already had the photos and everything. And she's like, that's because, you know, the machine is kind of a pain.
That was like photos. Her initial thoughts, but until she found out the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind too. If you're going to do it with kids, both parents have to be there.
Yep. And if you're going to get the photos, that'll be easier because obviously, you know, Walgreens or whatever will just take the photo perfectly. But, I mean, and if you just remember your birth certificates.
Yeah.
So that would have saved us 40 minutes if we would have just remembered our birth certificates. And then the second round was because Kylie's ear was out of the line.
Yeah.
It's always out of the line.
So that was the first step in our preparations.
The second big thing we did was we got a storage unit. So, one, we had some things that we wanted to remove from our RV. We were going to get the storage unit in Montana, but we decided, why carry half the stuff through the country? Like, we have 3 Tupperwares of Christmas stuff.
Yeah, big, heavy bins.
We're not even going to be in Canada for that long.
Yeah, we're not even.
We're going to get back before Halloween.
Yeah, we'll get back to the Yuma area, and then we can get our stuff out of storage for that holiday. So we ended up getting a storage unit. We searched around. Most places were full. We found a couple that were a little, like, too big, we thought, for us. And we ended up finding one right by our house that was, how big?
Five by five.
Yep, 5x5.
Which turned out to be pretty perfect.
Yeah. We actually could have probably got the bigger ones, to be honest. At first, we were only going to put a few things in there. So we were looking for, like, a smaller one. But then we ended up having way more. I mean, I was working, and I work in the front of the RV with a curtain, and I shut the curtain when I'm doing, like, my Zoom calls and stuff. And I had come out of the curtain, and Tony had, like, the entire RV was, like, pulled out into the walkway. He was, like, moving us out into the storage
unit. Yeah, he was like, okay, let's get all of this stuff out right now. All of it.
We're lightening the load.
Yeah, so we put Christmas stuff in there, and we put some clothes in there that we weren't going to need. We put some other things in there.
We put some of our toys, like our animals, half of my animal bin.
The Barbies, the...
Yeah, because you guys actually have a large tote of Barbies, plus another tote of Barbie accessories. So... Yeah.
But the other one is kind of small, like really small.
So the girls had a meeting, and they went through all their bins, because they had about 6 toy bins out in their... They have their own specific garage outside, and they have about 6 bins, plus a couple other things out there. And they kind of went through, and they had to agree on what they were going to store.
Not only now, we have 2 bins.
Yep, you have... the Lego bin.
Oh, actually 3 which bins.
You're continuously adding to.
I know.
That thing's going to be overflowing any day now. What else do you have?
The small bin of animals. We keep some animals. Yep. I cannot live without my animals.
Yeah, you basically cut it in half, right?
Yeah.
And what else?
And then we have like some outdoor toys, like axe throwing thing.
Yep.
Setup thing. We have some
Nerf guns.
Nerf
stuff.
Guns.
Yeah. We left our bikes.
That was a big one. Like, I felt bad because I didn't want to, like, deprive the girls of their bikes while we were out. I don't really care to take mine. I can walk while they ride their bike if it came down to it. But because I was thinking, like, maybe by the time we get back, they're going to have, like, outgrown. But then thinking about it, it's only, like, without them for 7 months.
Yeah. We can be without them for 7 months, and if the kids miss them, then they'll want to ride bikes when they get back.
Yeah.
And if they outgrow them, we'll just get them new bikes. But
yeah, Lexi has a small bike anyway, so.
I don't think I'm going to be outgrowing mine in a
I don't think
very
so.
Long.
No, yours My is like a 20-inch bike, so you have plenty of time. There's adults that ride 20-inch bikes. Lexi's, on the other hand, it is on the smaller side, so she's going to, it's inevitable for her to outgrow it.
We also put a ton of books in there. So we had school books that we're not getting to this year. I thought we would, but we're not going to. So we put those in there.
Yeah, we put maybe 3 bins of books away, like a whole library.
Yeah. I don't even know how we fit all that in the RV.
I don't either.
I think at least.
We're like, sure to have improved miles per gallon.
I feel like one half of that storage is filled with books.
Yeah.
And school supplies.
And as a bonus, part of downsizing all these garages and bins and storing this stuff is we can actually fit like all of our outdoor stuff, like our chairs and our stool and fire pit. All that stuff usually gets packed in the Jeep when we tow it. So it kind of hinders, like when in the bikes would go on the back of the Jeep. So anytime we get anywhere, it takes me a half hour to unload everything.
That and stopping. Like, if we're driving and stopping at a parking lot or something,
yeah.
We can't drive anywhere because our Jeep is full with stuff.
Yeah, it has like the Starlink in the back and all the things stacked to the ceiling, especially in the very back. So it's a huge convenience factor to be able to just have everything in the RV and the Jeep completely empty, and then be able to, like, if we get somewhere and we're going to set up for a week, I can take all those chairs and stuff out and set them all up, including the tent and all that stuff. Where if it's just a night or two, the Jeep can either stay hooked up and or unhook and still be accessible, and we can still go explore for one day or whatever if we wanted to.
The other really cool thing about getting the storage unit, first of all, I don't like throwing money away, so I hate the storage unit for that reason. However, until we get a piece of land somewhere on this side of the Mississippi, it is nice to have the storage unit there because there is stuff that I don't need right away, but I know that I'm not going back to Michigan for X amount of time, and so I know I'm going to need the stuff before we go back. So I take it with us. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't all fit. So I don't want the storage unit when we go back. Like, I would love to get rid of it and then just figure out what we're going to do with all of our stuff. However, it's still very convenient to have something over here. So until we get a piece of lot or a land or something, like a, which we do want, so maybe we do that eventually. But until we do something there, we have to have, probably are going to have a storage unit over here. We did cover everything in our storage unit with some plastic to protect it from the dust.
Yeah, that's one thing. All the units that we checked out in that whole area, every and even in the reviews and stuff, everybody complained about dust. And for good reason, because Yuma is borderline middle of nowhere with desert surrounding it. And it's windy. And those things don't seal up. So what I did is I put plastic down on the floor first, kind of like I made kind of like a tub out of like a, you know, drop plastic, drop cloth. And then I put everything in it. And then when it was all the way I wanted it, I covered it from the top with another sheet of plastic.
So hopefully that minimized the amount of dust that we're going to have in there. We'll see. And we'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's still going to be some dust in there, but it's not going to be as bad as it probably could have been.
The next thing we've done to get ready for this trip is look at some research on what you can take in and what you can't take into Canada and how that process works, just to make sure we're prepared. And so some of the things you can't take in that we have researched, obviously, firearms.
Yeah, firearms and firearms accessories.
Next, you can't take in certain foods.
Yeah.
Like vegetables and fruit, raw meat. I got a little nervous until Tony found out that I can take 500 plants or
50.
Something. 50 plants.
Up to 50 house plants.
So I can get like 46 more or something. So I'm pretty excited.
They
about
do
that.
Have very strict rules on like soil, like if you have outdoor plants and stuff like that. So yeah, certain plants you can't take. Like cut flowers, like they have all kinds of rules, you know, your fresh fruits and fresh veggies. And a lot of the things that are on their lists that they do allow, most of the stuff has to be in like a factory package, like including like our dog food. Mm-hmm. We were looking up dog food regulations. You can take up to 20 kilograms or 22 kilograms, which it comes out to about 44 pounds, which Our dog food comes in 28-pound bags, so we're good there.
Not really, though, because it's only good for a month.
That's about one per month. We have a storage container that we dump our bag into, so we're going to have to not do that. We're going to have to take a bag with us. Hopefully we use up, I don't know how that's going to work, use up all the dog food or, like, push them to the very limit, you know, and then buy a bag of dog food to take in. But I did look it up, and the type of dog food that we buy is Taste of the Wild, and they do sell it all in the areas that we're going to be, like Calgary.
Do they have, like, Walmarts and stuff up there?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, good.
And they have other...
Tractor Supply.
I don't know about Tractor Supply. They do have their own versions of that kind of stuff. Okay. Like, I think the place is called Pet Value that I looked up that carries our dog food. It's kind of like probably a PetSmart here.
You do have to also get your dog, like you have to take your dog to the vet and they have to have a, you know, good health check.
They have to have a proof of rabies
vaccination. I think we have that, but we should call our vet and see if...
We have everything.
Checked. Okay. And you also can't take in explosives, fireworks, ammunition, anything like that. So we need to make sure we don't have any of that in this RV. We also can't take in mace or
pepper spray.
Pepper spray. So I think we have.
They
some
do
pepper
allow.
Spray.
Yeah, we do. They do allow bear spray, but you have to declare it.
Oh, okay.
So, which we do have a can of bear spray. Ours might even be expired. I don't know if it's 2 years old or something. So it might be just time to get rid of it anyways. As, along with the pepper spray that we have, I think it's well overdue. So
I'm very interested in this declaring thing. So after we get through the border, we will have another podcast that tells you all about that and how that went. Because I've heard that they don't ask you, they just ask you questions and you just answer the questions. But then I've also heard that that is not, like, you're actually supposed to, like, step up and declare things, even if they don't ask you the question. So,
One thing I will say, like, it is pretty intimidating looking at all the rules and regulations and all that stuff. Because as you go through, like, the Canadian website, they have links that you click on, what you can take, what you can't take. And there's just, like, it's like a spiral of things that you just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. So it's a little overwhelming. One thing I wouldn't recommend is getting onto like forums, because I've seen so much terrible advice in these forums, especially when it comes to a lot of their prohibited items, like even the food stuff, the fruits and veggies. Like, people talk about hiding it. Like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just go to the grocery store when you get there and get your fruits and veggies and meat and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, to me, it's not worth any type of hassle, fine, or jail time for any of those things. So,
yeah, I went to jail for some bananas.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite possible, at least a fine.
That's bananas.
That is bananas. So that's one thing. Don't rely on a lot of, like, I love some of these RV forums for repair advice or anything like that, but
don't even listen to us.
Us either. When it comes to legal advice, there's a whole lot of bad ideas out there. So,
yeah, don't even listen to us. I mean, we're just telling you what we found, what we're going by. When we go through, we'll tell you what happened to us and what they asked and what we did and all the details. Maybe you won't have that one until after we get back into America. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
because maybe we're hiding our bananas. Who knows?
And the same thing goes for coming back to the U.S. All that stuff, either declare it or don't have it. But on the other side of it, kind of where I was going with this, is most people that I've read about or seen on YouTube or any of the things, any place I've looked, 9 times out of 10, it's like a super seamless, stress-free entry.
It won't be, though, for me, because I'm, like, a nervous wreck, so I'm going to look suspicious, and they're going
to
be like,
well, they have to go through our house.
Sometimes they do. Like, I've seen pictures and videos where they do, they say, pull over to the secondary inspection area. All they do is come in the door, and they look around. Very.
And our dogs are going to be going crazy. I hope that doesn't happen.
And most of the stuff that I saw and read about, there's very, very few times that they actually, like, went through refrigerators or anything like that, you know. So, fingers crossed, our journey will be very simple.
Yes.
You just answer their question. You don't.
Honey.
You don't. They're going to ask you a question, and you're going to give them your life story, and then they're going to tell you to pull over.
Yes. All the bad things that I've done.
And most of the time I hear it's like,
there might be something on my record from when I was 19 years old.
But they ask you yes or no questions for the most part, from what I understand.
We'll see. I mean, the funny thing is I've been to Canada before, but I don't know. Like, I'm just a nervous wreck now.
Probably not since 9/11.
No, that's true.
Like, back then it was just driver's license.
Yeah.
We'd go to Windsor.
One time I didn't even have my driver's license.
Yeah. Even though the border crossing seems like it's going to be a stressful, crazy event, it's probably going to be the opposite of that. I can only imagine it's going to be very easy.
We'll see.
But either way, we are totally excited, all of us, super excited to go. I can't wait.
I want to see some animals. In desperate need of some animals.
I really hope we'll see is, like, maybe a wolf.
I'm actually kind of excited to see some elk at this point.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen anything alive.
I just want to see some animals.
Yeah.
I just need to see something that doesn't have eight legs.
We would love for you guys to listen to our next episodes as we travel north to Canada. And once we get into Canada, listen to our podcast, see what we are up to and what kind of trouble we get into.
Or don't.
We would love to hear your stories on traveling in Canada, especially if you did it in an RV. You know, did you have any troubles at the border? What happened? Let us know. You can leave us a message at thefaolas.com/message, or you can send us an email at hi@thefaolas. We love reading your messages. They're so good and informative. I can't even get, like, you guys send some.
Yeah, we get some big good stuff.
Big emails. So I would love to hear your story if you have gone to Canada, what you've visited in that area that we're going to be in.
Yeah, if there's anything else that we should see while we're in that area. We do have a couple plans in Calgary and another area called High River, but we'll get into more detail on that stuff later down the road. I'm sure there's, along the way, we're going to find all kinds of other things to see.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I think that's a wrap. Got to turn the air back on.
I know, it's getting hot in here.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to episode 117.
Today is all about our future trip to Canada. Hello and welcome to episode.
You're very nasally, Kylie.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Stop it, Kylie.
Kaylee.
Do we already have this podcast?
No way.
My favorite.
Your favorite's elk?
Yes. No. Oops. Ignore that. Take that up. We have to scratch that itch and go to Canada. Take out that.
Scratch that itch.
Getting hot in here. No, that's not how it goes. How's it go, Tony?
You were close enough.
No,
I mean, I could have mistaken that for the real song.